songwriter, but I might change the words about let the Holy Spirit move as we pray and watch God, the Holy Spirit flood the earth and change lives. That's what we're praying for, right? What God can do in lives, and it's amazing and wonderful, and we've seen that in our church. We've been praying, Lord, bring these people to come to know You, to save You, that they are saved and that know You, and that's what we've done with our young people. And we have somebody that we want to dedicate. I'd love to hear his testimony. His name is Joseph. Joseph, would you come up? Why don't you let you stand right here? Joseph is getting ready to go in the Navy. And he has seen his, and we've seen his life change and what God has done in an amazing way in a young man. And he's ready to move on and go in the Navy. So we're actually been asked to pray over him as a church. This is his church. And want to thank Barbara's mother, of course, for lots of prayer. So I'm going to ask our elders if Kim would come forward. Where's Kim? Oh, there. And Melinda, would you come forward as well? Yes. And we're going to have, and Gary. And I'm going to actually ask anyone else that feels led to want to come. And just, we're going to dedicate him. Yep. And I just want to share this passage as we're praying. As we're committing, really, this man as he steps out in faith in his life. But it's important, Joseph, that we have a Bible for you. The Word of God. Where's the Bible? We got a Bible somewhere? We want to give this to you. And one of the things that it's important that you do is you know the Word, if you've heard the Word, as we teach the Word of God, this is what it says in Joshua. As Joshua was commended by Moses to go out, and it says this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to, how much? To all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. So we pray over you. Holy Spirit, just protect you and anoint you. Father, we come before you, Lord. Thank you so much for what you've done in Joseph's life. And we pray for him, Father, as he steps out. And he goes traveling to Illinois for basic training. And we pray, Father, we were talking earlier, the fear's gone. But we pray, Father, you replace the fear with faith. As he trusts in you, Lord, as he is going to step out in this world. And it's a crazy world. We pray for protection. We pray that you put a hedge of protection around him and fill him with your Holy Spirit as he stays faithful to you and your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yes. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Please open your Bibles. Genesis chapter 18. We have an interesting situation in our passage as we go along through Genesis, dealing with an issue. And a question I'm going to ask you this morning is, if you were to wake up and we're told the world's coming to an end, how would you react? The world calls it the apocalypse. We hear that all the time, right? Apocalypse zombies. I'm not sure what those are, but there's a lot of crazy talk about the apocalypse and apocalyptic events. And it's, you know, some people joke, you know, apocalypse is not the end of the world. Oh, yeah, it's the end of the world. Right? Or, you know, it's like there's no tomorrow. No, there is not going to be a no tomorrow. But this is what we're looking at. It's the Lord's revealed to us in His Word about what He wants to do. And He gives us an opportunity to come to Him to be saved, right? To be taken care of and eternally and presently and infinitely. And we talk, and the Bible's clear, talks about there's going to be a time of trouble globally. And yet God is there. Jesus is there to offer His love and His grace and His forgiveness and His mercy. And we see this here in His Word. And we see this morning. In fact, turn to Genesis chapter 18, looking at verse 16. It says this. Then the men rose from there and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them and sent them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time. We thank you for this perfect moment that you brought everybody here for perfect reason. We thank you, Lord, that we want to trust in you. We want to walk in your perfect way. We thank you for your word right now that you would reveal to us as we look at what revealing means. Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to what you have for us now. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. By the way, apocalypse, the word is the Greek apokalypsos, which that's where the word comes from, which means revealing or revelation. And God is revealing to us what He is doing. It's not like it's a big secret to us, but to so many it seems that way. And actually, as we look at this event here, you've all heard of Sodom and Gomorrah. Maybe you've heard also Sodom and Gomorrah doesn't exist anymore because something amazing happened. Literally, we're talking fire. You ever heard fire and brimstone? This may be one of those fire and brimstone messages. Just kidding. But God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And there's other cities that were also destroyed. And here's Abraham. And he is there with the Lord. We saw last time as the Lord and two other men who were angels came to Abraham and came to his tent. And Abraham has this new intimate personal relationship with his Lord that he's gone through this testing and trial and finally gets okay. And he gives up trying to fight his own battles, his own life. And he goes running to the Lord and he wants to be so close to the Lord with these two angels. And the Lord there reminds Sarah of what is impossible. Sarah, he says, Sarah's going to have a child. Sarah's laughs. She's 89 years old. It's laughable. But see, there's nothing impossible for God. Abraham gets this, and now Sarah's getting it. But now there's something else going on. Now it's time for the Lord to leave. And God has a purpose and a plan. And we see that purpose and plan with verse 16 as the Lord starts to rise to look towards. toward Sodom, it says. And Abraham went with him to send them on their way. It's like Abraham can't get enough of the Lord. He just, come on, I'm gonna walk you out. I'm going to keep going with you as far as we can go together. Because this is a theophany. This is the pre-incarnate, I believe, Lord Jesus Christ before He was born, Bethlehem. This is Jesus Christ, God in the flesh before He was in the flesh. And here He was. Because it speaks of that. The image of God. And there He's revealing something. The revelation, the apocalypse. And the Lord said, as He's speaking, in the sort of, Abraham's there, but He says, presumably to His two other men, the angels, these messengers with Him, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. He's saying, is this something He's going to reveal? He's going to give him a revelation of what's going to happen. As God reveals to you and to me what He wants to do and what's going to happen. He's promised Abraham, right? Because he's going to be a great nation. He's going to become the father of the Jews, and from him all the Jews. And from the Jewish people, the Lord Jesus Christ will come and will bless us because of what? Jesus Christ. Blessing of the whole world, all the nations. And He gives us a promise of the new covenant. The covenant of Jesus Christ. And the answer is yes, the Lord will reveal to Abraham. It's going to happen. Sarah's going to have a baby. And yes, something else is going on. But at first he goes on, describes how he has known Abraham. The word know means perceives and understands Abraham. He knows his heart. He knows Abraham's intimacy, his closeness. Because Abraham's heart is now desiring the Lord to keep the ways of God. Even in testing, even though he has to wait, Abraham's 99 years old. He's going to have a child. It's impossible, but Abraham is now, even this testing, waiting. Oh, if we could be like that. When things go crazy and it's so difficult, when we get tested, if we could just be hanging in there with the Lord and so in love with Him, even in the testing. Yes. I see that with Job. Job is your classic example. If you're going through a difficult time, go through Job. You won't feel so bad. It was the worst of anything. But God, He finally came around and He never turned his back on the Lord, but he asked why. But God said, no, I'm not going to give you the reason. But he finally got around to give up and just surrender. Because this is what we see with Abraham. Do you realize Abraham, it says in the Bible, is a friend of the Lord? Really? Yes, this is how special Abraham, this is what's going on with Abraham as he's getting ready, as he's looking to Sodom, because we know what's going to happen to Sodom. It says this, it says how close that the Lord was with Abraham. It says in Isaiah 41:8, but you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I've chosen, descendants of Abraham, my friend. It says in Isaiah. See, Jesus wants to be friends with you. Did you know that? Wow, it's hard to understand. We have our Heavenly Father, and He's so... You know, our Father is our Father, our Heavenly Father, and so on. But then we have the image of God, of course, Jesus Christ, who, it says this in John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Then he says this, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Can you imagine that? Be a friend of Jesus right now. You can. It's told of Abraham again in James. It says in the Scriptures, this in the New Testament, was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness and he was called the friend of God. See, this is why the Lord is revealing this to Abraham. As He's revealing to us, if you trust the Lord, if you've come to the point you said, okay, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to make You Lord. I'm going to trust You. I'm going to believe what You said, that You died for me, that You rose again, and He wants a relationship with us now. See, I know the Lord's always taken care of me as I've trusted in Him, as I've surrendered to Him, as we go through difficulties. My wife and I go through financial difficulties sometimes. But the Lord is just testing. He's always taking care of us. He loves us so much and He loves you so much. He just wants us to obey Him and to what? Love Him and to love others. This is my point here. As we, what's the commandment of Jesus? What did He say? What was His commandment? To love what? One another. You all get A's. You got it. Perfect. That's what we're talking about here. This is what this is about, by the way. Because something's going to happen. The Lord is going to come and judge. He's going to come and pour out His wrath upon this planet. God has come to a limit. And He's come to a limit with Sodom. Things have gotten so bad. And says, look at verse 20 of Genesis 18. It says, and the Lord said, because, this is what he's not going to hide, He's going to reveal, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great. And because of their sin, because their sin is very grave. It is so bad. Things have gotten so incredibly crazy. The outcry, the word outcry means distress. It means to this incredible things going on that's almost tormenting as things get so crazy and bad out there. Because God hears sin. It says that. He hears the outcry. And it breaks God's heart. It breaks God's heart what's going on in our world today. Things have gotten so crazy and out of control. The sins, do they sin today? You know what a sin is. Sin is disobeying God and His Word. This is it. Anything against us is a sin. And God is clearly not going to let things go on any longer, as He said there's a limit, and He said it in Sodom. It says this in 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Why is He? Because those people's faces are turned away from Him. They're running away from Him. They want to do their own thing. They want to live their own life. Turn for a moment, would you please, to Psalm 11, chapter 11. Keep your finger there in Genesis. Psalm 11, looking at verse 4. The Lord, it says, is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, His soul hates. Upon the wicked He will rain coals. There it is, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. As things continue to become less and less good, right? Because there's good and bad. As things become more and more unrighteous, God is going to come to His limit. When wickedness is so evil, the good is bad and bad is good. It has come to Sodom. And these five cities, as it says in Genesis 13:13, when Lot, you can turn back to Genesis 18. In Genesis 13, when Lot
Abraham's nephew wanted to move over there. It was a beautiful, lush area. It looked like the Garden of Eden. And it says, Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent, even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. See, this is where our world's headed, by the way. Romans 2:7 says, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality, like Joseph, as he's turned his life to Christ. He's gone through a period of kind of turning away a little bit, but then coming back. For everyone who asks receives. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, it says in Romans 2, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. Everybody. We're all held accountable. But we have the Lord Jesus Christ that said, I will take your sin. I will take it and I will pour out my blood to sacrifice for you, as we celebrate communion in remembrance of what that is all about. And it's given us this freedom, this intimacy, this ability to be a friend with Jesus. And nothing is impossible with God. And for those who are with God, right, there, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us, it says in Romans. But those that are going to reject the Lord, I pray that's none of you. And reject His Word. Don't reject His Word. Because they will die in their sin. And this world is coming to an end. The social media says it's going to happen in 12 years because of global warming. Did you know that? Did you see that? It's not climate change. It's going to happen. I mean, it's occurring. Climate change is occurring. But see, but the Lord is at His limit here in Sodom. Because of the outcry. And now, verse 21, He says, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know. The Lord wants to make sure everybody that it's real, that it's true, that people have really turned their backs on Him. He doesn't. Why is that? Because He doesn't desire any man to perish. He's just looking for a way to save people. Did you know that? The Lord's always looking for a way to save. He's never looking for a way to send anybody away from Him. That's the definition of hell. When people now start doing what's right in their own eyes, as it happened in Judges, we saw that. People start doing what's right in their own eyes. Now I want you to turn over to 2 Timothy. Flip over to 2 Timothy in the New Testament for a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says this, verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. This is what seems to be happening in our world today. It seems pretty clear to me. You can turn back now. Society is becoming so anti-God. Where there's a conference in Texas that because of a man that attended a church, a Christian evangelical church, a Christian church, was not allowed to speak because he is a Christian. It's coming to that point, even in Texas. It's becoming, the word, blatantly evil. And so now the Lord is revealing to Abraham what's going to happen. He knows it's going to be destroyed. Do you understand? He gets it. It's not specifically, explicitly stated here, but it's going to happen in context. Sodom will be destroyed. And it's got to absolutely freak, it does freak Abraham out. Because look what happens next. Then the men turned, verse 22, it's going to happen, turned away from there and went toward Sodom. These are messengers of God. Of course, they're involved with what's going to happen in Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. This is the picture I see of the truth, the fact that we finally get what God's going to do, the reality of God's revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ specifically speaks of what the wrath of God, what it's going to do on this earth. When we finally get that revelation, what do? Do we sit there and go, oh, well, that's nice. No, it's not nice. Or do we stand before God? This is what Abraham does. It's urgent. It's clear to him. Something needs to be done. And he stands still. And what does he do? Look at verse 23. And Abraham came near. He comes near the Lord. He comes near to him. He said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? What is he doing? He is praying. He's talking to the Lord. It's as urgent. This is important. His nephew's family's there. All these people he knows are there in Sodom. Because we know years before Abraham helped by his own little mini army to go and conquer this kings of the north that came and took all of Sodom and those people out of there. And Abraham, he helped save those people. And here they are. It's coming to the end because they've become so wicked. And so he asked, Lord, are you going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? Praying, standing before the Lord. Lord, save some souls. Things are coming to an end here. Did you know that? Do you have a heart for the Lord? For those that are against the Lord? Are you praying for them? See, God is revealing to Abraham, and his heart is to pray for what? For souls. Praying for souls. The wrath of God will happen, people. This is looking at a terrible time. This is the time of Jesus speaking about that will come. It's never happened before. When a heart is so to the point that it just will reject God. No. God, save. The Lord loves them. See, that's the whole point. He loves... Remember when Jesus was on the cross? He was actually talking about those people that were crucified Him. Lord, He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. This is a heart for the lost. See, Abraham doesn't just turn away and go, oh, well, there's poor Lot. Too bad, Lot. No. So what are we to do? Now you can turn one more time to first. This is the last time. 1 Timothy, giving you time to exercise your Bible. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2. What are we to do with this revelation? Okay, here it is. Therefore, verse 1 of chapter 2. I exhort first of all that supplications, those are looking for supplies, your needs, prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for, what does it say? How many? All men. Everybody. For the kings, for our president, for our governors, for our congresspeople, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Listen to this. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is our loving God. All men. See, this is God's heart that He wants your heart to be. It's been said that hell is locked from the inside. Think about that. See, I see Abraham, he's so abiding, with that word abiding, close. He wants to be so close to the Lord. He wants to be so, just loves the Lord so much and obey His heart. See, this tells the condition of our heart is how we are feeling toward the lost, toward those that are out there, maybe even in here. See, James says this, it says in James, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Resist the devil and he will flee. See, this scripture of Genesis is for your sake, by the way. See, we have the power that the Lord has given us, the power to pray and to ask, the power to push back darkness. Do you know the reason that we haven't received any wrath? Because you're still here, because the Lord will not destroy the wicked with the righteous, because we're here, you Christian. So what are we doing? We are, the most important thing we can be doing is praying, intercessory prayer. Would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Of course the Lord would not and will not. But time is ticking and He will remove the righteous. If you have not received Christ, Jesus Christ, you've been given the authority to become a child of God. You receive His forgiveness. This is the time. Now is the time to pray. As we see Abraham, intercessory prayer for Sodom. Look at verse 24 back on Genesis 18. It says, he says this in his prayer. Suppose, hypothetically, Lord, there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? The Lord responds, verse 25, Abraham continues to pray. Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So the Lord said, if I find Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. We're being spared right now because of our sakes. If you're a believer in Christ. Wow. That gives me incredible peace and joy. But verse 27, it goes on. Then Abraham answered and said, indeed, now I who am but dust and ashes have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than the 50 righteous. Would you destroy all of the city for lack of 5? So he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spoke to him again, yet again, and said, suppose there should be 40 found there. So he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. So he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And indeed, he said, and he said, indeed, now I have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. So he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. See, there seems to be a message here. Lord's not going to destroy for any righteous that are there. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham. And Abraham returned to his place. What is Abraham doing? He's praying. He's praying persistently. He didn't stop. He didn't quit. And he came humbly, as it said. And see, what does the Lord do? The Lord keeps answering. as He will. See, the Lord, that's our prayer. That's our prayer on Tuesdays, by the way, when we come together. And I pray that's your prayer. God, bring us more souls that would be saved. Lord, we pray that. That's the purpose of the church, by the way. Did you know that? We're to make disciples. We're not to convert. God does the Holy Spirit does the converting. But we're to make disciples. That's people's learning and growing in the Lord as you are. I'm so excited to see you guys growing in the Lord as you stay faithful in His Word and keep going forward with the Lord. But we have a responsibility of a church to, the word is evangelize. That's to tell others, share the Lord. But most importantly is to pray. And pray that God can help you share your faith. And He will, okay? Understand this. If you really believe this, do you want others to know this? Yes, it's real. Where is your heart? See, there'll be a time here, we're going to see next time, well, maybe a time or two next, where there will be 10 that are left. You'll see Abraham, his wife. He has his daughter, his two daughters, and their husbands, two sons, and two unmarried daughters. There's 10 people. So just be prepared what's going to happen. God wants to remove the righteous as He wants to remove us, as I believe the rapture will take us out before God comes and destroys what in its time when things are so bad. So the question is, as He's with us, as the sins, do you hear the sins crying out? Do you hear what's going on outside? I hear it. I look at the news. Even those we pray for those, even those that people that we don't necessarily like. I don't like that person in office. We are still told to what? Pray for them. And ask. It says this in Matthew 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. It's a promise. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Let's do this, okay? Challenge. Let's stand before God when you pray and pray for those that you love that are lost, okay? Pray for those that are lost, that you know are lost. And know this, there's nothing impossible for God. I look at Joseph. Impossible. No, I'm kidding, Joseph. It's amazing. It's a miracle. We've been praying for this family for weeks. No, years. So how do we pray? We pray. This is it. And by the way, you're going to get a lesson next week on this. You're going to pray specifically. When we pray, you pray specifically for a name. Oh, God, please help this person to come to know You. Lord, please help them open their heart to You. We pray for your. You also spray. You also pray precisely. Lord, I pray that You bring them to a saving knowledge soon. See, I've seen that with my family. I grew up in a family that, yeah, there were on the outside a form of religion, right? But inside, my father did not have an intimate relationship with the Lord, an intimate relationship. He prayed literally thousands of these at dinner time. Kind of freaked me out. Like he was King James. He didn't have that personal, he could speak to the Lord. And my mother would get angry when I read the Bible. But I prayed and God changed hearts. And as I got older, my mother would complain about family, her daughter, my sister and her daughter and all these issues, all these people. I said, Mom, stop it. Let's pray. Let's just pray for them right now. And God save them. He will. Just keep praying. God, change hearts. Bring those lost. It says in James 5:15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And don't give up. It's about persistent prayer. How many times did Abraham pray? Did you know that? Did you count? I don't know if you counted. He prayed 6 times. 6 times he prayed. Don't stop praying. Someone once said, and listen to this kind of interesting comment here. Abraham ceased asking before God ceased giving. Just read about a policeman in Texas, of all places. Texas seems to be a place. It's a Bible Belt, too. Policeman in this is Arizona. We're in Starbucks and we're asked to leave because they were disturbing other people because of their presence as police officers. And they were asked to leave. Are you crazy? I mean, come on. It's just the world's going crazy. So what is this? This is just a slight variation of what's happening. Jesus is waiting for you right now to pray to Him. Persistent prayer. Luke 18:7 says, "And shall God not avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them? I'll tell you that," this is Jesus speaking, "that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless," listen to this, "when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth?" Church, this is what is so sad, because I think the Lord looks and goes, "Where's your faith? Why aren't you praying and asking? It's getting close, people." We can do it. We can pray. So as we pray, prepare our hearts for communion, I'm going to ask Kevin if you'd come up and turn the lights off, please. If you've got a pen and pencil, and if you've got your bulletin, I'm going to ask you to do something as you prepare your hearts. As we are asked to participate in remembrance of the Lord's Supper, Last Supper, as we partake of communion, that's communing with Jesus, with the Lord. He is your friend if you will obey Him. And He wants to answer your prayer. He wants to take care of you and bless you. I'd like you to write down names of people that you have on your heart, maybe right now, that you're concerned with. As Abraham's looking to Sodom and he sees Lot and his family, he's praying to the Lord. I'm going to ask you to just write down some names. Just take some time and pray. But first of all, let's remember what God has done for us. For God so loved the world. He loves you so much that He gave His only Son, His only begotten, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For those that are saved and those that are Christians here, you have an opportunity as you're praying and writing those names down. If you like, feel free to slip them in the box. They'll be prayed for. Or just keep a copy for yourself. Please be praying persistently. After you're done, I'm going to ask you just to come up and on your own, you can receive the bread and the cup when you're ready. And then when we've all completed, we'll partake together. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, God, for Your Son, Jesus Christ, for giving us eternal life. Life, the infinite, the best, now and forever. We thank You for giving His body and His blood for our sins, because we are all sinners. This world is lost, Lord, because of their sin, and we're lost. We were yet like them, yet while we were sinners, You died for us. We thank You for that, Lord. Put this love in our heart. as we're obedient to you, loving others. In Jesus' name. Before you now, Lord, as those names come to mind and we write them down, or just note them in our mind, Father, we thank you, God, that you died for them. And Lord, we also are rejoicing the fact that you died for us. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us this time to remember what you've done. We thank you, as you said, there's nothing impossible for you, that we can even be saved, even us, as we pray for others. And as Jesus that night, he was with his disciples just hours before he was arrested, and it was the Last Supper, as we're celebrating his Last Supper now. As Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he blessed it, and he prayed and he said, "This is my body, broken for you," as he gave himself willingly, Son of God, perfect, yet all human, sinless and willingly dying for us, take and eat. Thank you, Lord, that you took upon yourself all of our sins. Lord, as we're so thankful that we are righteous in your eyes, yet we are sinners because of what your Son did. Thank you, Jesus. As Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is the blood, my blood," representing symbolically, of course, what had been going on for thousands of years with sacrificial lambs, that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of all the world. As Jesus said, "Take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant. It's done, finished, wiped out. We're clean. Let's take and drink." Thank you for this time, Lord, that we can remember, that we can taste, that we can share together. We thank you for our church. And Lord, you are on the throne. We thank you that you will return and you will take care of us and remove us. But we do, we pray for those that are here, all of us in this world, Lord, that need you. In Jesus' precious name, let your Spirit be poured out. Amen. Let's stand. Just turn the lights on, please. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you, everybody. Thanks for coming. If anybody needs prayer, I'd love to pray.